Thanks for joining us for another awesome message from C3 Church Toronto. Our heart is that these podcasts would be a tool that helps you connect to God. If you need more info on our church, check out our website at www.c3toronto.com. Now grab a coffee and prepare your heart for a powerful word from God.
All right. It's an honor to come and preach to you here today. Pastor Sam and Jess is holding it down in the East End, so they gave it to a team of us to hold it down in the West End. Pastor Sam and Jess are the best pastors in the world. Amen. If you guys don't know that, now you do. I can't believe they believe in me to be here on stage to preach to you guys. I'm not even a pastor. I'm just Jerry. I'm just a Sri Lankan man from Brampton coming here to do the work of God. Anyways, if you see them next week, make sure you give them a hug. Tell them that you love them. Tell them that they are the best in the world, because they are. Amen. So I'm going to talk about the parable of the talents today. Pastor Greg kind of mentioned it earlier in the first week. Kind of gave you a quick synopsis, but I'm going to break it down a bit more and how that will help you in your life as you walk the walk and talk the talk. Let's get started. So if you want to turn to me, who has their Bibles today? Everyone have their Bibles? I got a big Bible. Look how big this thing is. My mom, actually it's Katie's Bible. And then my mom put this cover thing and it says, "The Lord is my light and my salvation." Psalm 27. How cute is that? Shout out to my mama who's here. Just in the corner there. She's always wanted to come hear me preach, and I say no because I feel like I'm going to just laugh by looking at her because, you know, this is not something we do. We don't preach. All Sri Lankans are doctors and accountants. So I'm in HR, which is pretty boring. Shout out to Katie. Thank you for this iPad. I'm moving up in the world. I normally preach off of papers, and she noticed that all my papers are disorganized. So she has an iPad because she's a doctor. So she's like, "Jerry, you could use this." Thank you, my lovely fiance, who will be my wife in 2 weeks. Yeah. All right. So turn to Pastor Greg. If you're out there, you're in Calgary. I brought my Bible. It's bigger than yours, so I think I get more points. That's just for you. Matthew chapter 25. Verses 14. If you want to, I think you have it on the screen so you could read with me as well. "For it will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted to them his property. To one he gave 5 talents, to the other 2, and to another 1, each according to his own ability. Then he went away. He who had received the 5 talents went at once and traded with them and made 5 more talents. So he put some work in. Say, put in work. So also he had the 2 talents and made 2 talents more. So another servant was given 2 talents, again, according to his own ability, and he made 2 more talents. But he who received the 1 talent went and dug in the ground and hid the master's money. Now after a long time, the master came back and wanted to settle accounts with them. And he who had received 5 talents came forward bringing 5 more talents, saying, 'Master, you delivered me from 5 talents. Here I have made 5 talents more.' His master said to him, 'Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with the little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master.' And then he who had 2 talents, same thing, had 2 talents. The master said the same exact thing. 'Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with little, and I will set you over much.' And then the last servant said, 'Master, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you do not sow and gathering where you have not scattered seed. So I was afraid.'" Say, "Don't be afraid." "And I went and hid your talent into the ground." So an observation there. This man obviously didn't know who his master was, right? The other 2 servants put into work what was given to them and doubled it. But this one decided to hold it back because he acted on fear, digged it to the ground, and didn't do anything with it. Then the master answered him, "You wicked and slothful servant." In other words, it says, "You lazy servant. You knew that I reap where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered no seed. That's a question. Then you ought to have invested my money with the bankers, and at my coming I should have received what was my own and interest. So take the talent from him and give it to him who has 10 talents, for to everyone who has will be more given, and he will have an abundance. But from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away, and cast the worthless servant into the utter darkness. And the last sentence is pretty harsh. It says, in the place where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth. We won't talk about that. But you could get the drift. So a talent, just quickly, actually, I should explain it. So talent is not so much an ability, but this parable, you could talk about abilities, but it's actually like money. And that day it would have been weight. So depending if it was gold, silver, or copper, the value varied. But we could certainly apply this, I think, to our resources. So in our church, we believe and we talk about our time, talent, and treasure. In other words, our time, our gifts, and our money. So we could apply that as to a talent. If you want a title for the message, you could put fear of missing out. If you want to put a hashtag because it's cool, you could put FOMO. Fear of missing out. I'm going to pray again because I think I need it. Father God, I thank you for this word, Jesus. I pray, Father, this message would be a word, Father, that will transform the people today, Jesus. It's not something that we'll just hear and we'll drop it off as we leave. But, Father, it's a word that we'll take, we'll practice, we'll live off of it and see the life-transforming power of Jesus. In your name I pray. Amen. I don't think anyone likes FOMO. Does everyone know what FOMO is? Right? Fear of missing out. It's something where, you know, you maybe can't make it somewhere and you know your friends are there. But it's this, you fear because you're missing out and you're kind of like in this weird state of mind. No one should have FOMO. I remember even as a kid, when I was a cousin, going to my cousin's houses, I wanted to just get there on time. I wanted to be there fast because otherwise I felt like I was missing out. Like at that time, they only had one PlayStation or Nintendo. That's it. And so you have two controllers. So getting to my cousin's house, if I was late, I would miss out on playing. And then there's a wait list, you know, to get on the controller. I didn't know what it was, but that was FOMO. And when I was in youth group even, they would, like, once every 6 months, they'd have a barbecue. It would just be like a wiener hot dog and a really thin beef patty burger. But to me, that was like a grade 5 steak, you know, Kobe beef. That's what it was back then. And they only did it once every 6 months, but it got me going every Friday because I didn't want to miss out. Even now, I remember in vacation Bible study, it was a 2-week break in March, and I hated vacation Bible study. But there was one day of the week where they would do chocolate pudding on a cone with some peanuts on top. And to me, that was like, can you even do this? That was like the beginning of the foodie fusion thing for me, I think. And the one day I missed was the day they had it. I went the next day and I was like, what'd you guys have for snack yesterday? And they said chocolate pudding on a cone. I was like, how? How could this be? That was FOMO. That was FOMO. Nowadays, I go through FOMO when my friends go to a cottage and I miss out on the cottage is like the new destination. You know, someone goes to South Africa or to Italy or whatever, no one cares. But you go to a cottage, everyone cares. You know, you go to a cottage, you got a fast Instagram. You got a fast Facebook. You can't even go on those services because you see people having fun. And they're like, what the heck? My friends went to the cottage this summer and, I mean, I didn't even get invited. They're not my friends. But I didn't even get invited. So I had FOMO plus I didn't even feel belonged to. I had to tell Katie and she's like, Jerry, grow up. It's all good. You have me. Let's go have fun. I'm like, okay, let's go have fun. FOMO. I really feel that this servant with the one talent had FOMO. He feared on missing out. He feared on messing up. You call that FOMU. FOMU. See, I'm making up words now. He feared of messing up, so he wasn't faithful with what was given to him. Like that servant, I had a part of my journey where I was doing that as well. I was coming to the church about 4.5 years. But for the first 2 years, I was actually living in Brampton. Mom, make sure you turn off the flash because it'll disturb people. Just kidding. I'm just kidding. Anise should be taking pictures of me. So I was living in Brampton, and I would commute here for two years. I commuted here, just coming in every weekend, staying at people's houses. Shout out to the Bones and the U-Hosses and the Fries who would like take me in on weekends, so I didn't have to drive back to Brampton. I had like a schedule, like every third week I would go to each person's house to crash. I lived in my car. It was rough, but the reason why I did that was for some reason I feared that I was missing out on something. I feared that where my friends were at, who were living in Toronto, making more than me, were doing better off and could actually live in Toronto. But since I felt like I was behind, I sort of hid behind the financial security by living with my parents in Brampton. I didn't give any opportunity for God to do something because I was holding back. I was holding back what was given to me. I definitely could have afforded to live in Toronto. But because I was fearful of missing out, I was fearful of not having enough money, I stayed back. But sometimes I think our fear that we live in, that FOMO, that fear could actually cause us to miss out on something greater and bigger. Do you know that? Do you know what fear is in your life that you're living on, and it's causing you to miss out on the great opportunity God has for you? Is that happening right now? This takes me to my first point. Sow your seed in faith rather than burying your talent out of fear. Sow your seed in faith rather than burying your talent out of fear. So a seed is like, it has something that has the potential to grow. Okay? Right? When the farmer scatters the seed, it grows. There's a harvest. You get fruit. You get, not fruits, you get vegetables. Right? So, you know, when Pastor Sam preaches every Sunday, he is sowing a seed. And that's a word that could transform you and harvest to something. That's the idea when he preaches. It's not something where he just wants to give you a good word so you could have entertainment. It's something where you take it in and you get transformed by it. You know, there's also a seed when in terms of finances. You know, that when you give in your offering and your tithe, you're actually sowing a financial seed. And that's what I really want to kind of focus on in terms of your giving. You know, there's also in relationships and friendships. You sow a seed. You could sow a transaction. You could sow time. You could sow an encouragement to someone, and you could get a friendship out of that. You sow more time into that friendship, you could have a relationship with someone. It's Eli's birthday today. Shout out to Eli, right? Eli sowed into a friendship of this beautiful lady here, Lauren. And as he sowed into her time, encouragement, love, now they're married. It harvested and grew into a marriage, a loving marriage where they're sitting together, they serve together, they have fun together. They live in Roncesvalles. It's a cool area. You know, they get to go to the East Coast. I see your Instagram pictures. I get some FOMO as I watch it, for sure. So that's what a seed is. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 9:6, Paul's talking about to the Corinthians about an offering, and he's trying to encourage them. And he leaves them with this. He's like, remember this: whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. Whoever sows generously will also reap generously. So a farmer who sows seed, I think sometimes the farmer could fear on letting that seed go. He wants to grip it too much, right? Because sometimes it feels like you're losing out, right? Sometimes it feels like as we give, we're losing out, right? When we give, it feels like I'm missing out on something. But let me tell you something. You could store up every seed you want. That farmer could store every seed in his barn, but it's going to stay like that. Nothing's going to happen to that seed. But the farmer who sows with an anticipation of a future harvest will get a future harvest. There's no point keeping the seed in your hands because it's not going to do anything for you. But as you sow that seed, so as you give to the church, as you sow on a team, something great will happen out of it. You know, people come into church and they want, I don't know, I think the number one thing is people want a wife. Boys want a wife. Girls want a husband. So onto a team. Get on a team and you will meet your spouse. I can't tell you how many. Okay, first of all, let me correct that. Hold on. Don't go on a team and look for a girl, or don't go on a team. Maybe God can't help it if you are on a team for the right reason, because you want to serve God. Who knows? That girl might see that and be interested in you, and then there you're reaping a harvest, right? If you sow on a team for the right reasons, you will see a harvest. You will see your needs provided. If I want to reap a nice, you know, Sri Lankan cooking meal, I got to sow the time and effort to go to Brampton and see my mama. Same thing, right? My mom's food is the best. I have people calling me to come to my house just to come get her food. That's how good it is. How do I respect to reap all the deep and meaningful connections if I don't even sow into a connect group, right? I think people come to church all the time and it's like, I mean, listen, our mission, I love hosting. I'm part of Muscle and Hosting, but front row host right here, leading from the front. What's up? I would love that every person gets spoken to when they come into this house, but sometimes that doesn't happen, right? Sometimes, you know, these hosts are outside greeting everyone. But if you want a deep and meaningful connection, you can only have so much conversation before service starts and after service starts. But if you want a deep and meaningful connection, if you want someone to walk life with you, you need to sow into a connect group. You need to sow into getting on a team. When I'm on a team and I'm lifting a table with someone, I'm not just going to stare at the person while I'm lifting the table. I'm going to say, what's up? How's your week going? What do you do? You know, it's not going to be silence as you work. And when you're in a connect group, you know, you're having discussion, you're engaging, you're going through something. It's an atmosphere that opens you up where you could share. Sow into a connect group, sow into a team. How do you expect for the anxiety of money to leave you when you don't even sow into the house of God? Do you know that everything that you have is from God? When we look at the servants, the one servant with the one talent got one thing right. He said, here, I was scared. Here's everything that belongs to you. What that shows me is he was never the owner. He was just a steward. That's the only thing he got right. And the same way, everything that is given to us, we are a steward, not an owner. You sowing into the house puts trust into God and not yourself. It's honoring to God. You know, he's given us everything and he only requires a 10%. I love what Pastor Sam said, that money talks. He said money talks. You feel stronger when you have money, right? You feel stronger as you accumulate more money, but that is a false sense of security. That's Pastor Sam's words. He said it's a false sense of security. It's not going to help you. And what it does, it's like the enemy just tries to speak to you and take your dependence away from God. How good was that? That got me. Because I remember when I was living in Brampton, when I was saving my money and avoiding moving here because I thought I wasn't good enough or I didn't have enough, I was accumulating a false sense of security. I was accumulating a false sense of strength. But again, I was missing out on what God would have done if I stretched in faith and made the move here. I needed to live by a revelation and not the situation. That's my second point. Live by the revelation of who God is and not the situation you're in. Live by the revelation and not the situation. The second servant, let's talk about the second servant. What a legend, right? I love that he was already given two talents. The other servant was given five talents. The second servant could have been like, ooh, I don't have enough. I don't have enough. I don't want to work what I have because I'm fearful of losing it. The other guy has five talents. If he loses it, he still has more talents. He has more talents than me. But the second servant didn't do that. He still stewarded it. He still worked it. And he was still able to get double back. That's the difference. God will give you according to your own ability, right? Just like he gave according to the second steward's ability of the two talents. But the second second steward servant still doubled it. He still worked faithfully. He was still faithful with the little. The last servant who had the one talent was living in a situation, right? He said, you are someone who reaps where you don't sow. He told that to the master. I was scared, so I hid it. You are someone who reaps where you don't sow. And then the master said, asked him in a question. So since you think that I reap where I don't sow, you should have put it into a bank and make some money off that. Get some interest off that. The servant with the one talent held back, yes, because he was fearful. He feared of missing out. But he didn't know who his master was. You need a revelation of who your God is, right? Sometimes the obstacles come, the challenges come, but you need to understand that the revelation of who God is bigger than any obstacle or any challenge, bigger than any FOMO, bigger than any debt, bigger than anything you're trying to bury yourself and hold you back by. He's bigger than that. When I was preparing for this, the story of Judas came to mind. Judas sold 30 pieces of silver, or sold Jesus out for 30 pieces of silver. You know why? He actually thought that Jesus, he knew Jesus was the Son of God. He knew that Jesus was going to get famous, which Jesus did. But what he didn't understand was he thought that he would get famous and popularity out of it. He thought he was going to make some money out of it. And so he decided, because he feared of missing out on something, he was like, I'm going to get mine. I'm going to make mine. And what he did was he sold Jesus for 30 pieces of silver. When Jesus was crucified, he didn't realize what he was doing. Why? Because he was acting out of fear instead of acting on the revelation of who God is. If he knew who Jesus was, he would have known Jesus would have given the money he needed, right? Jesus would give you what you need. But what happened was he was greedy for something else. So what's crazy about the story and what I keep on thinking about is after Judas gave the coins back to the Pharisees because he felt remorse and guilt, he hung himself. How powerful would it have been if he went to Jesus instead of hanging himself? How powerful would it have been if he knew who Jesus was, if he knew who Jesus is and said, I could go to him and ask for forgiveness? How powerful could that have been? Could we have had Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and Judas? I don't know. Could he be remembered for a country where he brought the gospel because he actually went to Jesus and seek forgiveness and got it? But he didn't. He didn't know the master. Just like the first servant who didn't know the master. I didn't think sowing into a move of Toronto would reap me any good. But when I acted on the revelation of who my provider was, I started reaping the harvest. It started with a job at Whole Foods. Yeah, you could give them a shout. They're healthy. They're organic. Sugar's still sugar, folks. I still gained weight there, and it didn't help me at all, okay? I left that company. But when I was there, I knew that I had to move. I had to move into Toronto. I had to sow into the city. I had to sow being planted near the local church. So I did that. As time progressed, I got onto a team. You know, I'm on stage, and that only happened because I was sowing my time, I was sowing my gifts, and I was sowing my talents, right? After Whole Foods, started a blog called Feed Me Toronto. Yeah, that's what's up. I hope everyone's following that blog. But, hey, when I stayed at the U-Haas's, when I stayed at the Fry's, I was paying for my meals because I couldn't eat their food in their fridge, right? You know, that would be inappropriate. They're already giving me a house. So I went out to eat all the time. But what happened was I started a food blog. I worked with what God gave me. And now I get paid sometimes to eat. But more importantly, I get free food. And all my dinner dates with Katie is paid for. So I'm saving a lot. And it's because I worked what God gave me. I sowed into it. And now I'm reaping from it. I work at one of the best pediatric hospitals in the world. I think it's in the world. Right? Yeah, Katie knows. She's a doctor. I work at SickKids Hospital doing recruitment. Yeah, you wouldn't think so. I got tattoos, whatever. Don't judge me. But I work there, and I get a work from home day once a week. That's the best part of the job, okay? I get to sit down in my underwear on my computer just doing emails. I get to make breakfast. 2 weeks ago, I made a steak for lunch because I could, okay? I'm saying all these things not to make you jealous, okay? I'm saying all these things to let you know that when I sowed into something, I started to reap something. When I sowed into the right places, when I finally sowed into moving into Toronto, I started reaping something back. Man, the idea of paying rent was hard. I know all you guys know, rent is hard, right? Rent is hard. I did not want to pay rent. I started negotiating with my landlord. Hey, let's go down more. You know, I think it's from my mama. My mama was like, my mom and dad were like, you know, so Jerry, you are going to pay them to live there and you're going to cook for yourself and clean for yourself. And I was like, yes, mom. This is impossible. And I'm like, mom, I can't live here anymore. She's like, if there's a will, there's a way. And she tried to sell a lower rent price for me to stay in Brampton. Because in Sri Lankan culture, actually, and maybe Indian culture, you live at home and you pay rent to your parents and help them pay off the house. I guess my parents thought that was going to happen for me, but it didn't. I'm sorry. The call of God is long, is harder, it's stronger. But my mom understands, right, mom? You still love me. Now she begs for me to come every weekend just to spend some time with her. It's not like, I guess, in other cultures where you kick your kids out after you're 18, right? I was like, when people tell me that, I'm like, what? Go live with my parents. They would love you, you know, like. So some of you are saying right now, but Jerry, I gave. Jerry, I sowed into this, but I didn't get anything back. Not yet. Not yet you didn't get anything back. You got to put in the work. In verse 16 of Matthew chapter 25, it says, he who received the five talents went and traded with them. Each of those who received the talents put into work what was given to them. When you look up the went and traded, it implies direct action. And the point is that the servants felt the responsibility, so they went to work right away. Like the servant, the farmer who sows the seed also needs to plow the soil. He could scatter the seed all he wants, but you got to plow the soil to cultivate the soil. It helps with the harvest. The plowing breaks and prepares the soil to receive the seed. It is drawn by oxen or horses and saves the labor of digging. So nowadays it's done by tractors. We need to plow in life with the revelation of who God is. We need to plow like the farmer with the revelation of who God is. So you didn't get that job, keep plowing. So you didn't meet that connection, keep plowing. We got to keep plowing so we could go forward. We got to keep plowing knowing who God is. So when the farmer is plowing the soil, the key part is he's looking straight ahead. He's looking straight ahead at maybe a tree. So when he's plowing the soil, it's straight lines so he doesn't miss a spot. If he looks behind, he might veer to the left or veer to the right. But what happens is he misses the soil that gets plowed and potentially misses out on the harvest that could happen from that part of the soil. When you plow, you need to fix your eyes on Jesus. When you need perseverance, you need to fix your eyes on Jesus. When you're tired of waiting for the harvest, you need to fix your eyes on Jesus. You need to plow. You need to go forward and fix your eyes on Jesus, and you will receive the harvest. Like the servants, they plowed. They went forward. They didn't look behind. They didn't dig into the ground, but they went forward, fixing their eyes on who their master was. And as they were faithful with the little, they were given much. The plowing might represent perseverance for you. It might represent patience in the waiting. It could just be faith. Faith without works is dead, right? Right? Faith without works is dead. when I give to the church, if I want this city saved, my giving is an action to my faith. When I don't see the harvest right away, my plowing is an action to my faith. You got to put in the work. I didn't just start Feed Me Toronto off of, you know, telling everyone who I was. Imagine that, going around, Feed Me Toronto. Oh, what do you got? I got nothing. Can you just feed me? No, I had to work. And trust me, Katie didn't have a good time when I was taking pictures and posting it while we were eating dinner. There was work. Not good advice for you guys. She understands now because we get free food. But always honor your woman. Women, honor your men when you're eating dinner. Don't go on your phone. That's a side note. Sometimes we want to give up before the blessing comes. We want to give up right before it happens. What I'm trying to tell you, church, is to persevere. Galatians 6:9 says, "One who sows to the flesh will reap from the flesh corruption, but the one who sows to the Spirit will reap from the Spirit eternal life. Let us not become weary of doing good, for at the proper time we will receive a harvest." I'll invite the keys up right now. The eternal harvest you receive depends on where you sow and how you plow. The eternal harvest you receive depends on where you sow and how you plow. The two servants got the same reward, right? They both got, one brought 5 talents, the other brought 2 talents. You think the one with the five who brought 5 talents would get more of a reward. But no, they got the same reward. He said to both of them, "You were faithful with a little, you'll be faithful over much." And then he said, "Come in joy with me. Come into joy with me." They both got the same reward. It's not about how you, it's not about the amount you give. It's about the attitude and how you give it. Right? It's not about how much you give. It wasn't about how much my friends had. It's about the attitude I had. Did I let that stop me? Did I let that bury me? If I was still in Brampton, I wouldn't be here. I wouldn't be on this stage for sure. No. But it was because of the stretching it took. It was because of knowing who my God is. I was able to move forward. That revelation put me forward. It's either faithful with the little God has given you, and you'll be faithful over much, or fearful of the little and faithful over nothing. This one servant with the 1 talent was fearful of what was given to him, and he lost everything. He was faithful over nothing. When you steward what you have in the right places in the kingdom, no matter how much you have, you'll be given much. No matter how much you give, you'll be given much. You give according to your own ability. Did you know that the seat you guys are sitting in is a result of someone's seed? Did you guys know that? You think the seat is just there for you? The seat you're sitting in is a result of someone's financial pouring into the church. The flag someone saw that said C3 Church Toronto and that came into the house of God to experience Jesus is the result of someone's seed that bought that flag. The worship you encounter every Sunday is the result of someone's seed. It's the result of someone's giving. The message you hear is a result of someone's giving. The connection you make at church is the result of someone's giving. What people give is what brings the church. I think we, you know, when the Bible says we reap, when we sow bountifully, we reap bountifully. Because that's what he's saying. It's not just a material blessing. 100% you get a material blessing. No doubt about it. Let's just touch on that. So I truly think when you give into the church, through your time, your talent, your treasure, I think God is saying that you're honoring me, but you're honoring the kingdom because your resource is going to use to expand the church instead of holding it back. So of course he's going to take care of you. You cannot deny someone's story. There are stories and testimonies of people getting double back, people getting triple back. You cannot deny the story. You cannot deny my story. It happened. I went from job to job to job. I'm giving more through my vision builders, giving after my gross income, and I have more left over compared to before when I held it back. That's how God is. But what? Thank you. Yeah, give God some praise. But what I want to talk about is the premise of our giving. I don't fear, maybe I do fear I'm missing out sometimes, but what I fear I'm missing out on is someone's salvation. When you give, you're giving towards someone's eternity. That is so much better than the temporary things that I get back on this earth. But when I give to know that someone gets to meet Jesus, that is so much more than just getting anything back from God. Receiving that, the thought of knowing, the thought of witnessing, the thought of experiencing someone to come and meet Jesus is worth everything. It's worth giving. There was a story of Ezekiel a couple weeks ago and how he had found purpose in the house of God. I truly believe it was my seed, it was your seed, it was your seed, it was everyone's seed that contributed to his story being here. It contributed to him finding his calling and purpose. You heard Vernon Campbell's story a few months ago. Him finding this house of God is contributed by your seed that you sowed. You have a responsibility with what God has given you. The seed you have and where you sow it matters. How you work it may determine how you harvest it. See, the servants, if it was everything in total, if the three servants gave everything they had, so the 5 talents, the 2 talents, the 1 talent, that's 8, right? The other one made double, the other one made double, so that's 15 talents. Am I right, Katie? 5, 5, 2, 2, 15. Yeah. Okay. You guys with me? If you combine the talents all together, the 2 that doubled it and the 1 that did nothing with it, it would be 15 talents. If you gave it together, right, you would probably think, oh, that's a good job. The master would have been like, overall, it doubled. But he didn't. He judged according each to their own ability and what each of them did. Spurgeon says this, "Remember, my hearer, that in the day of judgment, thy account will be personal. God will not ask you what your church did. He will ask you what you did yourself." Whew. God will ask you what you did yourself. Do you care about the people of this city? Do you care that Toronto meets Jesus? You must. We have an East Campus happening. It's because the seed that was sown. But what I want to challenge is the people who are holding back right now because they're fearful of the little that they have. What God wants to do is he wants to challenge you to be faithful with the little you have. Don't be fearful of what the little you have. Be faithful with the little you have. Steward it into the right place, sow it into the right place, and you will receive a harvest. You will not only receive a harvest that will help you, but you will receive an eternal harvest. When the Bible talks about treasures in heaven and treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy, you can't take it up to heaven, but you can take the treasures of heaven. I could take Brendan Lee with me. I could take Josh Sam with me. I could take people with me. I could take the person who met Jesus today with me because of the seed I sowed. I'm trying to help you guys understand the reasoning why we give. It's twofold. You will see God's faithfulness in your life, but I think the most important thing is you'll see people come meet Jesus. The harvest is as much about others as it is about you. Jesus sowed the ultimate seed. He sowed the seed of dying on the cross for you, so you would receive the harvest of salvation. Did you know that? Did you know that? That he did what he did. He plowed through the suffering. He plowed through the cross. He plowed through the whips. He plowed through the thorns. Because he knew that at the right time, they will receive a harvest. And that is people that could be righteous in Christ Jesus. The Bible says he who knew no sin became sin so we might be righteous in Christ. So I can live in freedom. I don't have to be bound to sin. But I can live in freedom and know that God already took it from me.